Today, as we continue our time of Advent, we're trying to get ready. And as I was waking up during this week, I have a routine. How many of you have a routine of when you get up in the mornings? Right? Here's my routine. My routine is that I turn on my phone, which is now a computer, right? So to speak. These phones now are, you can actually see your internet through there, your email. You can see news. Well, I turn on my computer, and every time I turn on the morning thing on my computer, I am greeted by headlines, news. And if I pick up the paper, I also see the front page, and all those first pages are headline news also. Large print headlines of things that are going on. But then as I come to work, I turn on my radio, most of these stations are also headlining some news, and they repeat it and repeat it throughout the day. They keep repeating the headlines, along with the traffic and the weather channel and all that kind of stuff. News. And news. Everywhere you look, there are headlines. Everywhere you look, there are bulletins, banners. And if you're in the internet, there are pop-up headlines. They pop up at you once in a while. And with real, to really actually realize this, it doesn't have to take much effort for you to learn about so many other people. To learn about politicians, to learn about the headlines of stars, of movie stars, of businessmen and women. However, I think that if we choose to live in this way and turn into a political junkie or rock groupie or a sports fan that cannot do anything else but this, our actual life goes without any real significance. Our world will increasingly mirror their world, the world of the actresses and actors and politicians and celebrities. And sometimes it happens so much like this that we start dressing like them. Not only do we start dressing like them, we start wearing the clothes they endorse and the clothes that they wear, bearing their names, repeating even their jokes and their stories. We do this sometimes. And we even mouth their opinions, like if it were ours. Their opinions about food, their opinions about politics, their opinions about relationships. And of course, our own self will fade if we continue to do this without giving true meaning and finding ourselves, because eventually we're tangled up into something that's not really us, you. Luke draws a similar frame of reference. In verses 1 and 2 of the third chapter of the gospel, of his gospel, he positions three major players of his day. Six major players. Tiberius, here goes the names again, and I'm going to try it. Tiberius, Philip, Lysanias, something like that, Annas, Caiaphas. And together, all of these and their wives are the players, the shakers, the movers of their day. They were powerful men. Of course, no one had explained this to God, I think, because of the facts that we see in the Bible. God appears to be living out of the wrong frame of reference. God had these six men, significant leaders who had power, who had the authority, and he had so many other places, dozens of places and palaces from where the announcement of the Messiah coming could have been done. But he chose a rather odd place to start from. Each of these leaders that I try to pronounce had massive military and police presence. They had the power of enforcing the word of God as the official government policy. It seems like God, well, you think, what did he mess up? He picked this other place, like a desert. He picked a man like John. Not just in terms of, we might be thinking not just that he might have messed up, not just in terms of selecting the person who we didn't think was the correct person. After all, who was John the Baptist? It was said that he was kind of odd. And I would say weird, but he was kind of an odd feller. God chose the wilderness as the first forum of issuing the word of God. Jerusalem, Rome would have provided far more extensive coverage and maybe had more public exposure. John the Baptist in the wilderness. It doesn't make sense. Why would he do this? Not only did God pick a poor point man to launch the word of God and the campaign, but he used a very weird kind of advertisement. If you notice, when he started advertising the ministry of the man who would be called Jesus the Messiah, he started out saying that his demands were about repentance, baptism, and personal agency. Might have scared some people away with his words, because about John, it was said that he had hard words sometimes. He was kind of rough around the edges. Have you ever met people like this? No? Are you with me here? Amen?
Amen.
In a nutshell, this thing about repentance, baptism, and personal agency is what God wanted Israel, what he wanted of Israel, and what he wants of us today. God, you see, is not about to excuse our sordid and messy affairs on the basis that we have let other people do what we are supposed to be doing as his followers, that others have taken control. God is not going to set aside our sins of omission, our sins of commission, on the plea that we have not attended our own life because we've been consumed. So consumed with the loves, with the labors, with the laughs, and all the stuff that is going on in our lives. Somebody say, all the stuff? Do we have stuff going on? Okay. Too much stuff, right? Giving up our lives for notable religious leaders won't get us any favors either. I do thank God that we have ministries that are through TV. That we have people that probably can't make it to church that have an opportunity to hear the word of God. But let me just tell you something. Some people would do well in coming to church. Hello? And taking some action in their lives. Not letting other people do what we're supposed to be doing also. Because it's not only the people who have their TV stations. And that's a great blessing if they do. But it's not only the pastors who have the blessing to be able to be in action for the world to see the hope of Christ. It's our responsibility and our job also. My friends, God gave us life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God gave us life, and I believe it gets him, it would get him upset when we hand over our lives to others instead of doing the job that God has put in our lives to do. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. We have to give God honor. God wants us to step up. To step up and live our lives. That term that I used a little earlier about personal agency is none other than personal action. God wants us to start taking some action in our lives. It's about time that we stop just getting all the stuff from our pastors and our teachers and start sharing what we have been giving for the love of Christ and the love of this world. Amen. My friends, I am responsible for me, Ernesto Tito Sanchez Alberio. Yes, I am responsible for me. But you are responsible for you. There is no one else who will be held accountable. Only you. Only you can live your life in the company of God. The same God who formed you, the same God who fashioned you, the same God who made you to his very own image. Only you can pay more attention. Somebody say hello. Yeah. Pay some attention. Tune out the appeals of all the stuff that is in your life and distract you from the spiritual things that God wants you to do. Only you can walk down the waters just like these people did when that man called John the Baptizer was screaming out from the desert, confessing your sins. Put your head in John the Baptist's hands so that you would be submerged, hallelujah, in God's presence. Plunging beneath the waters of God's unending mercy. Only you can get serious. Somebody go ahead and tell your neighbor, get serious. Only you can get serious about living your life for God. Only you, my friends. Take back your life. Don't let any other person let you think what you have to think or make you do things that you don't have to do. What you have to do is be like Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can't forget that. Take back your life and prepare. Don said, get ready. That's what John was saying. That's what Johnny was saying. Take back your life. Prepare for God. It seems, well, now that we look at it, that God didn't seem to think that the palaces of back then were the worthy places for announcing his good news. That the emperors of the time, that the governors of the time had no credibility to call people to repentance. It's not the celebrities that can clean us. It's not the celebrities or the politicians or whatever that can save us. It's Jesus, hallelujah. It's God. We need ascetics. Ascéticos, which they would say allá en Puerto Rico, over there in Puerto Rico. Yes. Like John. Figuratively, we might be saying this right now, but we need something to happen. What the church calls spiritual athletes, that's what we need. To hear our confession. Oh, not only to hear our confession, but, figuratively, to cut our hair. And I'm not talking about anybody who has long hair around here, okay? It's a figuratively. To bathe our bodies, our spiritual, temples, our bodies, to balm our sores, to patch us up, to feed our souls. And that's what we need. That's what the church is still here for. Hallelujah. We need the ascetics. We need the Jeremiahs. We need the Malachis. We need the Isaiahs to turn our hearts to God. We need to turn our hearts to God, my friends. We need John to lead us once again, to lead us to the water. And with this, I finish, my friends. If we know what is good for us, do you know what's good for you? Sometimes, right? But if we know what's good for us, this Advent season, we will take a good look at what we're doing, at where we're standing, what we believe in, what we stand for. And then we will begin, or we should, my friends, we should begin to take our bodies, our minds, our wills, and our souls seriously, seriously. God does it all the time. He takes our souls seriously, so we should too. We should get ready. John the Baptist says, tear down every obstacle between you and God, or God will tear it down. Fill in every ditch between you and God, or God will fill it in. Straighten the blind curves in your attitude. Hello, somebody say hello. In your attitude and the twisting ways in which you behave, and your behavior is before others. Or God will straighten you out. Get to work. Get to work, my friends, smoothing God's way home. Where is that home? Are we going to just think about this literally here? I mean, figuratively here? Is it just the decorations, the routine that we put the Jesus in the manger? When Jesus wants to come back home, he's coming back home, all right. He's coming back home to your life. That's where he's going to come back. Is he coming back home or not? For God is surely coming back home. And that home is your heart. That home is your life. That is the message of Johnny the Baptist, John. So weird and odd, but so true, this man. And he was out there just saying repentance is needed. Baptism is needed. Action is needed. But he was also there to just say it very simple. Get ready. My friends, get ready. For God wants to, through Jesus Christ, come home. And that's in your heart. May God bless you all.